Now, Nicodemus is one of those characters of Scripture that I just love. He's a guy I think that you and I can relate with very well. I like to call him Nick at Night. Nick at Night. You remember the old show, Nick at Night? Nick comes to Jesus under the cover of darkness. You know, he has a real heart for the truth. He recognizes something of God working in this man, Jesus. But he comes on his own terms. He comes in the cover of darkness, not willing to risk being associated with Jesus in public. His problem is that he had too much going for him. He was a Pharisee, a teacher of the law, a respected moral leader, a religious man. By all accounts, he was successful. He had a reputation that he had to uphold. And so it was really risky for him to do what he did. But there must have been something that was still missing. Something in his heart that he could see in Jesus that he needed to address. Something that caused him to seek more. Another reason I like Nicodemus is because he's a seeker. He is seeking after the truth, wherever it is to be found. But like those of us who are seeking after the truth, we're surely to be challenged by it when we find it. We go down this road of seeking the truth, earnestly desiring it, and then all of a sudden we're confronted with it. The question that we have to address is, what do we do when we are confronted with a truth that presents itself in a way that's completely unexpected, that challenges everything that we know and understand? Do we embrace it and come into the light? Or do we just keep it hidden in the recesses, the darkness of our own heart, continue to keep it at arm's length and consider it? Nicodemus was confronted with the truth that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again or born from above. In a sense, Jesus was saying, Nick, God is already working in you such that you can see glimpses of this kingdom. You are a good man indeed, but you're not good enough that you can't ever get there on your own. You can't get there on your own knowledge. You can't get there on your own moral correctness. You can't get there, Nicodemus, on your social standing or just even by being a good person. You have to be willing to lose your life in order to find this new life that Christ is offering. You have to be able to embrace this truth in a way that allows you to let go of your past and walk into the new future that Christ is leading us into. I dare say all of us are challenged by this journey of seeking the truth, that we all come up against a point in which we say, okay, I don't know if I'm ready to go any further than this. I have a dear relative, a model human being, attends church on a regular basis, and he is willing to entertain the Christian truth. And I think that's what he does. He continues to entertain the Christian truth, and in many ways allow it to entertain him. But this bit about dying to yourself and being born again, or losing yourself in order to find it, I mean, that's that's where it all falls apart. And I dare say there are many of us that come to that place in our lives where we come to our own end. And we're confronted with the truth that we can't go any further under our own strength, under our own knowledge, under our own credentials. And that is exactly where God confronts us. And for each one of us, it's a different place. But for each one of us, that's where the point of decision is. Do we just say, okay, thank you, I'll continue to entertain this idea? Or are we willing to say, okay, Lord, cost what it may, I will follow you because I trust you and I'm willing to put my life in your hands. Many of us, I know, are only capable of going so far down this new road, this road of new life. But it's something that continues. God isn't calling us to stay where we are. That's the thing about this journey that we're on, is that it is a continuous journey of new life. It's a continuous journey of being born again. It begins in the waters of baptism, but it is a relationship that keeps drawing us further and further out of ourselves into a new life. It is literally dying to self so that we can be born again into that new life that Christ has for us. It begins anew each and every day. A wonderful illustration in the Old Testament this morning, and even a continuation of that in the epistle, one of Abraham and Sarah. By all accounts, Abraham and Sarah were without hope. Their lives were, they were barren. They did not have any heritage, any prodigy. Their name was coming to an end, and indeed their lives were coming to an end, and God intervened in their life in a way that was hard for them to believe. But he said that if you enter into this new relationship with me, I will lead you to a new land, a land of promise, and you will be the father and mother of many people and a great nation. And they had a choice. They had a decision to make. They could have said, you know, that just sounds too good to be true, God. I don't believe. I kind of like my circumstances the way they are, as dysfunctional and as broken as they are. I tend to want to stay where I am. Or they were willing to say, you have offered me hope where there was no hope, life where there was no life. And they chose to go. They didn't know where God was leading them, but they decided to leave everything that they knew, everything that was familiar, everything that they understood, for something that they believed to be far greater. And they were rewarded with this new life and this blessing, and it was given to them as a gift. God offered new life where there was no life, hope where there was no hope. But there is a moment of decision. There is a choice. We have to be willing to step out of our comfort zones to keep going down this road. If we're satisfied with where we are, there isn't much of an incentive to go. But we have to consider, what is it that we're holding on to? What are we giving up in order to gain something far greater? This covenant relationship begins in baptism, It begins in that weakness, in that place of understanding that there is a limit to where we can go on our own. That the future is in God. That the future is in Christ. And that when we hear Him calling us out, we're willing to follow. We can't understand this mystery in our minds. It's not something that is an idea. It is something that has to be experienced. And so the only way we can experience it is either in our own lives or in the testimony of others in their own lives. So we look at others and we hear their testimony, and we have to receive their truth. We see it in the way that folks' lives have been changed, and we want that for ourselves. I'm reminded of the song Amazing Grace. I once was lost and now I'm found, blind but now I see. I think it's hard to understand this in our mind. We have to be willing to lay it on the line and trust God with that and see if He doesn't return a great blessing to you. And then we will have an experience of our own to share. This new life can only come from Him. It comes out of humility. It comes out of a desire to seek. And it's a daily journey. A daily journey of forgiveness and reconciliation and growing together in love and community with one another. I think we're all a lot like Nicodemus. Nicodemus, he was there in the end. He was a true disciple of Jesus. He broke through this barrier of not understanding to one of living a life with Jesus as a true disciple. And God is calling us all through that next barrier, that arm's length distance that we continue to keep Him at. I'll leave you with these words of hope. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that everyone who believes in Him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Amen.